11th verse. And I want to read down into the 9th chapter. 11th verse of the 8th chapter of Hosea. Because Ephraim hath made many altars to sin, altars shall be unto him to sin. I have written to him the great things of my law, but they were counted as a strange thing. I've written to him the great things of my law, but they were counted as a strange thing. They sacrifice flesh for the sacrifices of mine offerings and eat it. But the Lord accepted them not. Now will he remember their iniquity and visit their sins. They shall return to Egypt. For Israel hath forgotten the Maker. For Israel hath forgotten his Maker and buildeth temples. And Judah hath multiplied fenced cities. But I will send a fire upon his cities, and it shall devour the palaces thereof. Rejoice not, O Israel, for joy as other people, for thou hast gone a whoring from thy God. Thou hast loved a reward upon every corn floor. The floor and the winepress shall not feed them, and the new wine shall fail in her. They shall not dwell in the Lord's land, but Ephraim shall return to Egypt, and they shall eat unclean things in Assyria. While you're standing, let's read from Philippians. Philippians 3:13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind.
All right.
Yes. Unified into a single glorious purpose. This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you for standing. Forgetting those things which are behind. I read to you from Hosea. He made several statements about them returning to Egypt, a place they had been delivered from, a place of bondage, a place of horrible taskmasters.
Yeah.
And they returned to Egypt. In the book of Acts, we read that they turned to Egypt in their hearts. They went back to Egypt in their heart. But Paul writing to the Philippians, this one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind. I'll tell you what, I believe Egypt needs to be forgotten about as an option of returning. We need to realize what Egypt is about. We need to realize it's not a place for us to dwell, but it's a place to be delivered from. A place to be delivered from. And God will deliver you if you're tonight in bondage. He wants to deliver you out of bondage. He wants to bring you out that he may bring you into some place. He's wanting to bring you out that he can bless you with a good place to dwell in. And I think tonight in this service and before this meeting's over, we need to be reaching forth unto those things which are before. Brother Dathan testified about the focus of this world. And the focus that we're having here is affecting us from going to the place that God intended us to be. But there are some places in him he would like for us to obtain. There are some places right here in this meeting he'd like for us to obtain. And it's obtainable. It's reachable. The things that God has for us are reachable. He's not tantalizing us. He's not presenting it and then moving the mark. But he's setting it within our reach tonight. It is reachable. If we'll reach forth in those things which are before us. I believe the Lord's got some wonderful things for us. Let's go to the book of Numbers. Numbers 11th chapter. Third verse. Fourth verse. And the mixed multitude was among them fell a-lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, Who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish. You see, they've already come out of Egypt. They're on their way somewhere, but now they've come to a place that they don't think they can go any farther. And they're concerned about their next meal. They're concerned about some things that they're partaking of. God is raining down something good upon them, and they don't have to labor for it. All they got to do is just go ahead and pick it up, and it's there. But in the process, we remember the fish, fifth verse, which we did eat in Egypt freely. Look how free it was. My, when the devil tempts people, he causes them to forget how it really was. They are now forgetting how hard it really was at Egypt. They have forgotten the beatings. They've forgotten the stripes, but they're remembering how free the fish was. They're remembering how free the fish was, and the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all besides this manna before our eyes. The manna was a miracle, my friend. It was bread of heaven. It was sent of God. It had every essential vitamin in that they needed to exist. Right there. That's all they needed. Angel food. It was provided for them to get them through the wilderness. The wilderness was just a temporary place. It was just a temporary place they were trapped. God had a better place intended for them. Let us go to the 13th chapter of the book of Numbers. 13th chapter, 23rd verse. And they came into the brook of Eshcol and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes. And they bare it between two upon a staff. And they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. You know, the Bible just don't use sentences and words just to take up space on a page. They're put there for a reason. And he's letting us see, he's given us a picture here of how great it really was in the promised land. This is a time where they've sent the spies to the promised land to see what the land is like. And they've taken a cluster of grapes to bring back to the people to show them how great it was. The cluster of grapes are so big, it takes two people to carry them. I don't know if the grapes were so many in the cluster or just the size. Whatever it is, it don't matter. I have a feeling that they're probably the size of plums in my mind. And many. So big that it took two guys to carry. And here they come back with the evidence. We've got some evidence here that the land that we just went to is a good land. The vineyards are already planted. The houses are already builded. Everything's there that we need. But they said, nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land. And the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the south, land of the south. And the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. I want to tell you tonight, there's some things that God has for you. You can take it. You can possess it. You can have it. But if you listen to the message of doubt, it'll convince you that you cannot. But the men that went up with him said, We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, The land which through we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. We were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. 14th chapter, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. they're within reach, and now they think that they can't take it. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, "Would to God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would to God we had died in this wilderness. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt?" And they said one to them, "Let us make a captain, and let us return to Egypt." I want to ask you a question tonight. You want to glean grapes or dream of garlic? Which one? You want to glean grapes or you want to dream of garlic? That's all they had was a dream, my friend. A dream, a figment of the mind. They never went back, literally. They died in the wilderness. They did not go back to Egypt. Only in their heart and mind, only in their dreams did they return. They dreamed of the garlic when they could have been gleaning grapes. How many times do we come to the house of God and we've come to a hard place and the enemy surrounds us and convinces us that this is as far as you go. This is all there is. Nothing else. Nothing else. You've come to you. This is it. I want to tell you, you're in a wilderness. But what you've got to realize, the wilderness is not forever. You were never intended to stay in the wilderness. God's will was them not to die in the wilderness. Hallelujah. It was His will for them to glean grapes. They went back in the heart. They went back in their mind. They could not possess it because they dreamed of garlic. I want to tell you what you've got to do. You've got to get the garlic out of your mind. If I had a platter tonight, I wished I did, and I had a beautiful cluster of grapes, and I had some garlic clove, which one would you choose? Which one? I'm not going to throw garlic completely out the window. It's good in its place. It probably has some healing qualities, but for me to sit around and wish I had some, I don't do it. How many times, honey, ever said, "Pass the garlic"? But I will take some of those grapes. I will take some of those grapes. Give me some of those heavenly vineyard. Let me experience some of that, my friend. But if we're not careful, we'll come to the house of God and we'll consider that it's no longer available. We'll consider that it's nothing for us anymore. But can I tell you tonight, God brought us out that He may bring us in. He saved us from that He may save us too. There's something He wants us to have. He intends us, the church, to have. He's coming back after a glorious church. So let us glean the grapes that He's got for us. We're dreaming of garlic. You see, once we've been delivered, most of us, the majority of us, will never go back to the lifestyle that we lived. Never. We'll never go back. Never intended to. But if we're not careful, we'll come to the wilderness. And in our mind, we'll think about it. We'll return there. Somebody will do us wrong and that's it. We come to the house of God and we're hurting. We're getting bitter. We're struggling. And that garlic is just, it's all we can think about. Well, I'll tell you what, God's got something better than that. Heaven's harvest is better than that. I know we sing about the promised land and heaven, but could I tell you, God wants us to experience some promise here, some promise right now, some promise now. His promises are yea and amen. Hey, the devil will never tempt you to experience that, but God has said it's yours.
This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. There's some things that's behind you that never needs to be pulled up again. In the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. There underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from dawn, in the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. You mean you're going to let the devil bring you back to that again in your mind? You know what he'll do? He'll take you on a fishing trip over to the sea of God's forgetfulness and go fishing there. And I promise you, you'll catch something. Hallelujah. You'll catch something. And what you catch out of that sea will hinder you from gleaning the grapes of the promised land. It'll hinder you from going any further. Some of you have gone as far as you're going to go, except you get your mind erased from the past of failure. Sin. God is great. He has no weaknesses, right? So if in his ability he has the ability to forget, then his forgetfulness is just as great as anything else. I've forgotten it. We remember, he does it. Forgetfulness. So God is calling us to partake of his forgetfulness. Come on, let's go forward. Let's join in my forgetfulness. I'll wipe your slate clean. I'll give you a fresh start. This is a new day. Tonight is a new night. A new day. Hallelujah. I read about the day spring that dawned. I read about that day spring. That day spring, a new day is dawn. He's now here. He's come to give you a fresh start, to forget the past, forget yesterday. This is a new day. The future of God is great. Oh, I know we're to think about how we used to have the blessings. There's nothing wrong with that. But to consider that we never have them again, that God is no longer, he's still God. I wonder what he's going to do for this meeting's over. I wonder what's going to happen before this fellowship meeting's over, because he's a God. He's just as great now as he was in the past. He's just as great in the future. But the day is dawning. Hallelujah, a new day. There's another scripture. Come, let us return to the Lord. Let us return in heart, in mind, and soul. Let us return unto the Lord. For he hath torn and he will heal us. He hath smitten and he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us. In the third day will he raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Then shall we know. If we follow on to know the Lord, his going forth is prepared as the morning. His going forth is prepared as the morning. God has something better for you. Yes, you may have been done wrong. It may have not been fair. It may be overwhelming you. But you don't have to stay there. It's time to leave. Though you have lying among the pots. Though you have lying among the pots. I'll bring you out. I'll put you on wings. As a dove with silver. You'll soar again. I've got something better for you. You may have lied in the blackness of those pots and those ashes, but God says, I've got something better for you. Come out of that. I've got a better place. I've got a promise to share with you. I've got a hope to give you. I've got life and peace to give you.
Come on, preach. You're preaching. I like it. I'm liking it.
Come on. If anybody would have had an excuse to have went back in their mind, this man would. You know who he is. Brother Job. If you read the 19th chapter, you'll see all the things that he's going through. My kinfolk fail. My familiar friends have forgotten me. They that dwell in my house and my maids count me for a stranger. I'm an alien in their sight. I have no one. The young children despise me. And all my inward friends abhor me. And they whom I loved have turned against me. Yeah. I'm in a bad state. But then just a few verses, he says, oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book. And that they were graven with an iron pen and laid in the rock forever. For I know. For I know. For I know my Redeemer liveth. He shall stand in the latter day upon the earth. And though after the skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I shall see God. I'm going to see him again. He's going to come through for me. Job, why don't you curse God and die? You talk like a foolish woman. I believe I'll go and worship him. I believe I'll go and worship him. Job said a couple chapters over, he said, behold, I go forward, but he is not there. Wait a minute. And backward. The only reason he went back was to look for God. He wasn't looking for garlic. He wasn't looking for self-pity. He wasn't looking for anything but God. He turned. No doubt he kind of done this number. And he wasn't there.
He wasn't back there.
He said, on the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot. I go backward, but I cannot see him. On the left where he doth work, I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from his commandments.
Oh, come on, preach.
Where's God, Job? It's all over, buddy. Throw in the towel. Go ahead and go back. He knoweth the way that I take. I believe I'll just march on. I believe I'll just journey on. I believe I'll travel on. This ain't the easiest place I've ever been, but I believe I'll go.
He knows the way.
I'm going to see him for myself. My eyes. I'm going to see him. That's faith talking, my friend. Garlic will rob you of faith of the future. Focus of the future. It's just a fleshly lust. It's just a comfort zone that we rely on. But faith causes us to step out when we cannot feel him and go forward. I don't know where he's at, but he knows the way that I take. Been there? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Knows the way that I take. I'm going forward. Did God fail him?
Oh, no, no.
Have you ever read the last chapter of Job?
God God showed up. God showed up.
He said, I have heard him, but now my eye has seen him. He's in better perspective. He's clear now. And the latter end of Job was better than the first. He had double everything. Double everything. He's already a rich man, but he had double everything. I'm going to ask you a question. Is it better to go and fight the giants and glean grapes or just dream about garlic? What are you going to do? You're just going to dream. You're going to dream. It's time to go forward and get the victory that God has for us. Come on out of Egypt. Come on out. Leave it tonight. Walk away from it. Walk away from the influence of Pharaoh. Come out and leave that place. They come out with a high hand. Evident. But it didn't take long. One of the first places I see, brother, that they begin to murmur. They was about to walk through the wilderness of sin. How ironic is that? The wilderness of sin. I'm going to call it tonight the wilderness of nothings. You're just existing. You've made it. You've made it to the house of God again. But you're in a wilderness of nothings. Nothing happens. Nothing speaks. The commandment don't, you don't see the greatness of it. It's just counted as a strange thing. Man of God can preach under the anointing and influence, and it's a strange thing. You're in the wilderness of nothings because in your mind, you're looking at other options. Strange thing. Spirit of God moves, and it's like a strange thing. What's going on? What's happening? The wilderness of nothings. Song doesn't move us. Nothing happens in prayer. The word of God doesn't affect us anymore. The wilderness of nothings. I'm not going to beat you over the head, but I'm come to tell you tonight, you can glean grapes. You can glean grapes. You can glean grapes. How about it? Is there anybody like some grapes? Heaven's harvest is ripe tonight. I helped a gentleman one time plant a vineyard. Right out of high school, I didn't even work enough to heard about this guy and went to him. His son had just committed suicide, so that kind of took me in. I was about his age. And just me and him out there planting grapes. Whole big field. We cut so much off of that grape vine. Oh, man, ain't nothing there ever come to grow out of this thing. This dry stick will never have any grapes on it. And driving them stobs in the ground. And I helped him plant that field. Never knew what was going to be. Many, many years later, I went down that road. It's up where my dad and him lives. Went down this road, and I pulled up in this little dirt lane, and I looked out in that field, and I was blown away.
Look there.
Wow.
Look there.
The prettiest vines, big, tight wires and posts, grapes everywhere. You see, I couldn't see Brother Dave, and he did. He saw it. He saw it. He had a hope. He saw it. By faith, he planted them grapes. I didn't. But one day, I went back and saw the fruit of our labor was not in vain. We're going to glean grapes. We're going to glean grapes. That's grapes. Grapes bigger than you ever imagined. More than you ever thought. God is a blessing his people. Stick around. You'll see his glory. Go ahead and stay around. The world is calling, but stay around. The grapes are ripe. The grapes are ripe. He's going forth. You see, we can't He's wanting us to secure concentration on what's ahead. That He's wanting to secure that in our heart by faith. We take the next step. There's a love in our hearts for Him, and we trust Him. We're not interested in what's behind us, for we've heard the call, the high call of God in Christ Jesus. Forgetting those things that are behind, I press for the mark, prize, high calling. The Bible said, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. Could we stand? No man that putteth his hand to the plow and looketh back is fit for the kingdom. Oh, out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let my ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee. I know what the devil's telling you. You messed up too bad. It's too great. It's no use. Forget it. But there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in His word do I hope. My soul waited for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for the Lord there is mercy, and with Him is plenteous redemption. He shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. The Lord, are you hoping tonight in Him? Are you waiting? Do you know what they that watch for the morning, they've been up all night, Brother Dale, and they've been looking on the eastern horizon. They're looking for a sign of glimmer. They're not looking back to the dreads of the night. They're not looking back to the miseries of the night. But they're looking for the hope of the new day. And I'm going to tell you tonight, God deals in new days. New days. He's the God of the new day. He's the day spring. So tonight, with hope and faith, we look toward the east more than they that watch for the morning. They're looking for the morning. We're looking for the capital S-U-N to rise with healing in His wing. Brother Tommy, do you reckon He's healed for the last time? Huh? No. You said that with real vigor and faith and confidence.
No, He hadn't healed for the last time.
No. No. How about it, Brother Dale? No. You've seen Him heal. You reckon He'll heal again?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. I believe it. He said, in the last days I'll pour out of my spirit for all flesh. You're in that category. He's wanting tonight to do a major work right now in someone's heart. I want you to right now forget what the devil's offering you. Forget the garlic of Egypt. Forget them stinking fish pots of Egypt. And look, there's a place of milk and honey for you to dwell in. It's not in bitterness. It's not in darkness, but it's in light and hope of a new day. How about it? This morning you may have faced Him, but right now you can leave it. Leave the effects of it. Leave the effects of it.
But in my weakness, God sent reinforcement.
In my weakness, He sent reinforcement. And at sundown,
Whoa. I sang
victory songs. Beyond my comprehension, but I believe. Sun's coming up
in the morning.
Every new life, new hope.
From my
I think sometimes a little different.
Place,
That word dayspring. Dayspring, there's two words there. I know that's possibly talking about a new day springing forth. But you divide them up. There's also a brand new season. A season where things grow from the dormancy of winter.
In the morning.
It's been a long time, but the day spring is now springing up. People that sat in the region of Nevada shadow death, light has come.
Oh, so
come on. Let's choose what God has for us.
Glory.
Let's choose what He has for us.
And like
run to the promise.
Run to the promise.
Come on tonight.
Filling a world filled with doubts and confusion.
Run to the Lord.
It's so hard.
Hold His word.
Stand on that solid foundation.
Run.